Let's take a trip down memory lane with Niagara County's Great History Show. Now, here's your host, Norm Palmer.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the show this morning. In the guest studio with me, the Executive Director of Niagara County History Center, Melissa Dunlap, and her assistant, Anne-Marie Lineberry. Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
Good morning.
So it is a beautiful morning. We had good news that they are relaxing the restrictions on the COVID. So I would imagine that you have some fun activities ready for this summer.
Okay. Well, actually, we have one this month. We have the Key to the Locks, and that's sponsored by the Erie Canal Discovery Center. And it's going to be on May 22nd. And the winner is George Fritz, because George Fritz does so much for the community, so much for nonprofits. And it's really a great award for him to win. And it's a prestigious award with all the other people that have worked so hard to get that award. So we're really happy that George Fritz is the recipient this year. The ceremony is open to the public. It's on May 22nd at 10:30 a.m. It's going to be outside. We'll be outside on the lawn. And it's at 24 Church Street, and that is, right at church in Ontario, and the parking lot is the one you use if you're going to go to Lake Effect Ice Cream. That's how people find us. But you'll see it. It'll be all set up. So that's May 22nd at 10:30 a.m., and that's to honor George Fritz, who's getting the Key to the Lock Awards from the Erie Canal Discovery Center. We have another really fun event, and it's a road rally, and we're having it on June 12th. And it's going to be not a race, but kind of like a contest. So you have to have at least two people in the car. You have to have a driver and you have to have a navigator. And when you sign up, you get all the information that you need, but then you don't get the route until the 4 minutes before your appointed time to take off, because we're going to have the cars staggered. And then you'll follow the route, and the routes are not all the same, and there's an emergency envelope in case you get lost. but hopefully you don't have to use that if you're really doing what it says. It's to be safe, it's set about 5 miles below the speed limit, and it takes approximately 2 hours to complete the whole course, and you have to look for certain sites, you identify landmarks, and you have to find clues and as you go along this whole route. So it's going to be really interesting and a fun event. And it is a fundraiser for us. So it's a $50 donation per car, but you could put more than two people in the car, which would make it even easier to, get all the clues thought out and everything. And it is on June 17th, and
15th.
We need... No, or I'm sorry, June 12th.
12th.
I'm sorry.
I said the wrong day, too.
Yeah.
You're both.
Okay,
both.
So
definitely
right
on
now.
June 12th. I'm looking at it right here why I said the 17th. I have no
idea.
And
I don't know why I said the 15th.
What I think we're going to do is we'll take the quarter out. We'll flip it. And whatever, heads or tails, that's the date it is.
Never mind.
It's June 12th. So if you're interested, you can either call the museum at 434-7433, or you can email us at info@niagarahistory.org. So those are the two ways, but you can call us, and I mean, it's really going to be a fun event. The person that set it up has a great sense of humor. It's safe for everybody because, you just have the people that are in your car, and then there are prizes for the best times. So, and the judges will be checking the times when you finish, and then they'll announce, who the winners are. So I'm really hoping we'll get a lot of people for that because it should be a lot of fun. And the whole driving course has been computed by a highly qualified B-52 instructor navigator. So there you go. This is serious stuff. So, and then Anne-Marie has some programs coming up in the summer.
Yeah, we're going to resume our children's programs this summer. However, we're only doing two instead of four this summer. The first one is going to be on Wednesday, July 21st. It's from 10 to 1, so it's a shortened version of our programs. And it is going to be about the history of firefighting. And the children are going to be doing some hands-on activities. We're hoping to do most of the activities outdoors. So we will do social distancing, and, you know, we will practice sanitizing anything that's handled and that sort of thing. But there's going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to do a bucket brigade, and they're going to have a sort of like a relay race to put out a fire. And there's going to be a visit from a Lockport fireman. He's going to come in and talk about the equipment and about modern firefighting. So it's going to be a lot of fun for the kids. It's $20 per child. And there are coupons available. I think it's $25 this year. And there are $5 coupons available through the Town of Lockport Town of Recreation Department. And the other program is going to be on August 18th. And that is going to be about the Titanic. This is a program we've done actually a couple of times over the years, and it's been very popular. The kids learn about the ship. They also learn about the different classes, first, second, and third class. They're going to make a souvenir postcard of the Titanic. They're going to get to learn about Morse code and how the signals were sent. We're going to do some of the activities outdoors. So, again, this has always been a popular program. And, again, it's going to be $25 with a $5 off coupon with the Town of Lockport. So if you have any, if you need any more information, you can give us a call at 434-7433. And this is for children ages 7 to 12.
Okay. I did want to mention that we have gotten some new grants for this year, and we have gotten grants from the Greg Lewis Foundation, the Niagara County Legislature, and the New York State Council on the Arts, which says that it's a two-year grant to support programming, collections, maintenance, and is made possible by the New York State Council on the Arts with the support of Governor Andrew M. Cuomo and the New York State Legislature. So that is how they like their grant acknowledged. But we're very grateful for all of our grant funders, because without having the programming this year, without the grants, we would be in serious trouble.
Yeah.
So we're really especially grateful.
Well, I'm sure you're grateful that you're able to put your programs on again, because the programs go over so well and they're so educational about our history in Niagara County. Now, speaking about our history in Niagara County, we have a topic today that I think is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to tap your memory, folks, and maybe your parents' or grandparents' memories. Today, our topic is doctors in Niagara County and the area. So this is going to be a blast, especially for myself, being a change of life baby. My grandma was still alive. Both my grandmas were still alive when I was a kid growing up. And their stories about the doctors and whatever, it keep you in stitches, believe me. And that's just a point. Okay, ladies, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to let Anne Marie start.
Okay. Well, three of the doctors that many people probably remember here in Lockport were the Dr. Fitzgeralds. And they practiced over almost a 100-year period of time, beginning in 1908 with Dr. Robert Roland Braden Fitzgerald. And he actually started his practice here in Lockport in 1908. And he had his practice first in the F&M building. And he kept limited office hours, but he did also house calls. So he was in his office a couple of days a week. But like most doctors of that time period, he made house calls, and he was available at all hours of the day and night for emergencies. He also, in addition to this, he found time to further his studies at the Mayo Clinic and also in Vienna, Austria. And he married Lita Dudley, and they had three children, Dudley, Braden, and Geraldine. But over the next 30 years, Dr. Fitzgerald expanded his practice. He was active in a lot of community and professional organizations. And in 1939, with his sons, both of his sons were pursuing careers in medicine, and he opened the Medical Arts Building at 136 Walnut Street. And I know a lot of people have talked about that, and a lot of people remember that building. And his sons, Dudley and Braden, joined their father's practice, but then they also served during World War II. So Dr. Braden continued his practice with other doctors until his sons returned. And he was still performing operations and seeing patients up to age 75. And unfortunately, he died in 1956, but he was still practicing at the time of his death. His son, Dudley, was born in Lockport in 1910. And he went to Lockport High School and Colgate University. And then he graduated from the University of Rochester School of Medicine in 1936. And in 1939, he joined his father's practice here in the Medical Arts Building. But of course, he was also in World War II. He enlisted in the Navy. He served in the Pacific. And after he was discharged, he was discharged with the rank of lieutenant commander. So he went high in the ranks. And then he took over the practice. He was named chief of surgery at the Lockport Memorial Hospital after his father's death in 1956. But he unfortunately also died rather suddenly of a heart attack in 1971, and he was only 61 years old. The doctor that probably most people remember was Braden Fitzgerald, and he was the youngest of the three doctors. He was born in Lockport in 1912. He was also a graduate of the Lockport High School, Colgate University, and the Rochester Medical School, University of Rochester Medical School. He did his internship at the Strong Memorial Hospital, and he joined the Medical Arts Building practice with his father in 1941. He also served in the Navy in the Pacific. And in 1943, he was aboard a Navy APC support ship near New Guinea when it came under fire. He was able to get his medical kit, and despite an injury to his right hand, Dr. Braden was able to assist the other injured sailors both while in the water and when they reached the Philippines. And he was discharged, like his brother, with the rank of lieutenant commander. So they both went very high in the ranks in the Navy. He returned to Lockport and resumed his practice with his father and his brother. And he eventually also became chief of staff at the Lockport Memorial Hospital and also at Mount View Hospital. He continued to make house calls until his retirement in 1995. He never married. He put all of his energy into his medical practice and community involvement. And he ended up, he lived the longest. He died in 2005 at the age of 93. So I'm sure that many of our listeners will remember at least
one
of
them. And we have his office.
We have his office. I was just going to say that. We have a medical office set up in one of our buildings that has much of the Fitzgerald mm-hmm. medical equipment that were used in these different offices.
It also has the saddlebags from Champion Buck, who was a doctor.
Yes.
He was also a doctor and an attorney, but his sisters didn't think that... they thought being a doctor was beneath him, and they really wanted him to be an attorney. So,
yeah, I have a little bit about him, too, yeah. But if we have time, we can talk yeah. about him a little bit later.
433-1433, if you'd like to join us today with your comments, your thoughts, your stories about doctors in your family from Grandma, Grandpa, right straight up to today. So go ahead, ladies.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people just love Dr. Fitzgerald, and... his nurse, Ann Spears, was very helpful when we put this exhibit up. And it's got, we have a picture of Dr. Fitzgerald's RRB, the dad's office, and they just use the same equipment. So it's the picture of his office, the two sons used, and now we have it, and it still looks the same. We set yeah. it up the same as this photo.
So, okay, the other doctors that... you might remember, are the Doctors Crosbys. Dr. Frank Crosby was born in 1872, and he was born in Cambria, moved to Royalton. He attended, he traveled to Lockport, I should say. He studied at the Union School, and then he went to the Niagara University School of Medicine, and then it was later merged with the University of Buffalo School of Medicine while he was a student, and he graduated in 1896. And his first practice was in the Beech Ridge area in the town of Pendleton. And then they moved to Lockport. He and his wife moved to Lockport in the early 20th century, and he lived at 93 Niagara Street before purchasing a very large house. It had been the steel house, and it was at the corner of Niagara and North Transit, which is where the parking lot for the Taylor and Reynolds funeral home is now.
Yes,
that was their house. And this was during the time of the formation of the Lockport Memorial Hospital, and Dr. Crosby took an active role in the establishment of that hospital and was one of the very first staff members there. His office was at 13 Main Street, but he also had an office in his home, and he made house calls in a horse and buggy. He never turned away a patient because they could not pay, and he often paid for medicine or other necessary equipment if they could not afford it. He was a general practitioner, but he specialized in obstetrics. And at the time of his death in 1935, it was said that he had delivered more babies than any other doctor in Lockport up to that time. He was also served on the Lockport School Board, and he was a member of several other medical associations. And he and his wife had six children, and their oldest daughter fell and was killed when she was a young woman. And that was one of the reasons, in addition to him being a doctor, that prompted two of his sons, Frank Jr. and John, to follow in their father's footsteps to become doctors in Lockport. John Crosby was born in Lockport in 1910, and he graduated from Lockport High School. He attended Cornell University, and then he went on to the University of Buffalo Medical School, graduating in 1936. He returned to Lockport and opened up his own practice and took on many of his deceased father's patients. And he was starting, at the time that he was starting his own practice, his younger brother, Frank, who was born in 1912, and if they were both contemporaries of the two Fitzgerald sons.
Yes, I
they
mean,
were
it's,
both born,
it's unusual.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
He attended the University of Illinois, and he was actually an accomplished swimmer and was chosen as an alternate for the U.S. swim team at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. In 1939, Frank received his medical degree from Duke University. He first had a practice in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then opened an office there in 1941. But he also served in World War II, and both brothers, John and Frank, served their country. John was a commissioned officer in the United States Navy, and Frank was in the Marine Corps. While serving in Guadalcanal, Frank was seriously wounded by shrapnel, and after enduring 53 bombings in 31 days, he was sent back home to recuperate and was discharged in 1945, a year before his brother returned. Frank Crosby took over his brother's practice in Lockport until he was discharged. John Crosby eventually left the general practice to become an anesthesiologist, which was a new branch of medicine that was emerging after World War II. He suffered a heart attack in 1973, and after that, he served on the Joint Commission of Accreditation of Hospitals. And like his father, John Crosby was involved in many civic and fraternal organizations, and he passed away in 1985 at the age of 74. Frank Crosby continued his practice with his father and later his brother from 1946 to 1981. He was a very popular and well-respected Lockport physician, and it is estimated that he delivered over 3,000 babies during those years. Dr. Frank, as he was called, retired in 1981 and moved to Florida, and he died in 2003 at the age of 91. And the house at 69 Niagara Street, which for many years was the Crosby House, they had it for 36 years. It was sold in 1946. It was converted into apartments, and then in 1991, the house was damaged in a fire, and it was later torn down a few years later. They tried to save it, but it the house was beyond repair, and so they tore it down in a few years. I don't have an exact date on the time it was torn down, but it was a few years later. Yeah.
When you call in and I put you on hold, I urge you to stay on hold until we get done with all our wonderful information that the ladies have researched about all our great doctors and heroes. Really, they talk about heroes. These guys were heroes back in those days. And yes, we're going to talk about lady doctors too also. So that's 433-1433. When you call in, I will be putting you on hold. And then the first breath that they go to take, we'll cut in and we'll bring the calls in. Thank you very much. Okay, ladies.
Okay. Well, Anne-Marie and I both did not grow up in Lockport, so if, please call in if you had a favorite doctor. We don't mention them because, you know, it's
we
it's
had other doctors
us.
In other areas.
But I can remember Margaret Jackson volunteered for us for a long time, and she had a large family, and she always talked about Dr. Anna, that she loved him and that he delivered all of her children. And then I know after he passed away, we went to his house, and I can't remember why, but we went to his house, and that was early in, he died in 1996. So he was a very well-known doctor, a very well-loved, another one who was on the mental health board in Niagara County, served and had a practice at the hospital, also had an office practice. And so he really was one that was well-liked. I have a photo from 1998, and it's the Lockport Medical Group, and it has Dr. Deshmukh, Dr. Wilson, I think she's an NP, then you have Dr. Thomas Hughes, Dr. Sofat, and Dr. Gupta. And I know that Dr. Gupta has retired, and probably the other doctors as well. Now, I didn't know any of these doctors, but I'm sure some of you did. So.
Okay, we have a call coming in right now. We'll take that call. Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. Go ahead. You are on.
Well, good morning. I'm enjoying the show about doctors very much. Two quick things. Doc Cole in Gasport made house calls all the way out to Johnson Creek. I remember him coming to the house when I was young in the early 1950s. And we were talking about Dr. Crosby a little while ago. He not only was a great doctor, but he also arranged for my adoption.
Oh, really?
He knew that my parents were looking for a child, and he knew somebody that had a child, and so he took care of the adoption and made sure that it happened. So,
oh, wow. That's
another one of the things that he did.
Well, see, they provide all sorts of wonderful services.
That's, there you go.
There you go. Well, thanks so much for calling, Bob.
Thank you for your call. 433-1433. Join us. I'm sure you can enhance the stories of doctors in Niagara County.
Okay, we have Dr. Jedowich, and he served in the U.S. Army from 1944 to 1946 in World War II. He earned his medical degree from the University of Buffalo Medical School. He served his internship at Bellevue Hospital, and his residency in internal medicine in E.J. Meyer Memorial Hospital, known as Erie County Medical Center. Began his practice in Lockport in 1956 and returned to ECMC in 1958 for a residency in cardiology, and he was the first cardiologist resident. While practicing in Lockport, he initiated the intensive care unit, the first in Niagara County, and taught evening classes to the nursing staff, educating them to understand ICU therapy. He also instituted the temporary pacemaker capability, echocardiography, and stress testing, and instituted citywide CPR education with the Red Cross. Wow, he was a busy guy.
Okay, let's take a short break and take this phone call about one of the doctors. Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. You are on. Go ahead.
Good morning. I remember Dr. R.R.B. Fitzgerald. I was just a little girl, and my mother had to go there. And she had something wrong with her ear, and she's laying on the table. And I remember being maybe 4 or 5, something like that, and I was insistent that I was going to help my mother, and he let me. He got me a stool, and he let me get right up there. And when there was a little bit of blood or something like that, he let me clean it up. And I just never forgot that.
Oh, that's really neat.
Great bedside manner.
Yes.
You know, just let me chime right in.
Yeah.
I'm sure they let you do that today.
Well, I don't
Well, that was nice, though, because
nice
he kept you calm.
You have. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. Thank you. That's a great story.
Isn't it?
Assisted on her mother's surgery or whatever it was there with a little blood. Got to clean it up.
Yeah.
Okay. So after Dr. Jedowich,
Okay, before we go to the next doctor, let's take our next call. People are really interested today. Good morning, Niagara County's Great History Show. We are talking about doctors. You are on.
Good morning. The first caller talked about Dr. Cole in Jasper. Actually, there were two Dr. Coles, Dr. Frank Cole, and then his son, Dr. Jim Cole, took over his practice. Jim had been in the military in the Army during War II, and there's a third doctor in Jasper, Dr. Johnson. I don't have a lot of history on Dr. Johnson, other than the fact that he delivered me and my twin sister.
Ah! Well, he was doing a good job.
Thank you. That goes back a year or two. But
yeah.
That's the Jasper doctors I'm familiar with.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you very much for your call, 433-1433. Join us. It's a blast today. We're talking about the good doctors that used to come to the house even back in the days.
Yeah, my doctor came to the house. I had strep throat, like continuously.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, me too when I was a kid, yeah.
So he used to come to the house and give me B12 shots. And I can remember because I really liked him, but I didn't like it when he came to the house. I mean, he was a really nice man.
My doctor, his office was at the very end of our street, but I still remember him coming to our house.
Yeah.
Even though it was only a block away, he would still come to our house sometimes. So.
Well, we have memories just piling up on the phone. Good morning. You are on Niagara County's Great History Show. Go ahead. You are on.
Yes, sir. I'm calling in Niagara Falls. There was a Dr. Booth and another special surgeon. His name was Dr. Doldan. I was 16 years old at the time. I had a 1937 Chevy that I was making in the hot rod. I cut my finger off in the car door.
Oh!
I closed the door, and I didn't have the door handle on, and I was reaching for that big chrome door handle. And I forgot I took it off. I took my took my pointer finger right off of my right hand. I was in so much pain, my finger was mangled. They didn't think they were going to save it, and the pain was excruciating. Everything they gave me at the hospital was not doing nothing. The Dr. Booth, who was my grandmother's doctor, he ordered something. I don't know what it was, but when he gave it to me, he gave me a shot, it stopped it. And Dr. Doldan is such a fine doctor and such a wonderful doctor. He actually put my finger back on and actually rebuilt the whole finger.
Oh, wow.
Thank God, to this day, it does not bother me. In the winter, it bothers me a little bit, but I can bend it. I can do everything. I have complete use of that finger.
That's wonderful.
I don't know how he did it because it was mangled.
Well, they're miracle workers.
Inside the door.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, that's really great.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad you had those doctors.
Yes.
And I can sympathize with him because same thing happened to me. I was helping a guy that lost his keys. So the passenger door was open. I was leaning on the car part of it, had my hand up in where the door shuts. He slams the door shut because he come around the corner and it was in his way. And my finger was in there and the end of my finger was inside the door. But fortunately, the handle was on. So I got to take it off and I still have the scar. I have the end of my finger yet, but there is a scar around there that says you put your finger where you didn't supposed to. So. Great calls, 433-143. That one saved the man's finger.
Yep, and it's amazing because that was years ago, but they still had the knowledge to do it. So, you know, doctors are amazing. We don't appreciate them as much as we should. Okay, so this one is Dr. Beyer, and he's a pediatrician. And I know that years ago, Dr. Moscato, George Moscato, was in town because I used to hear his name a lot, and I think he was a pediatrician also.
Yes, he was one of the greatest.
And so there's got to be people that remember him. So this Dr. William Byer, and he bought the house on High Street at 438 High Street, and there's still a doctor's office in there today, but I can't tell you who is in that office, but I know it's a doctor's office. So I know that Dr. Gupta retired after 40 years. I have an article about that. In 1980, a young physician from Delhi, India, opened a family practice in Lockport. So don't you wonder how they pick Lockport? But that's nice. And he was hanging up his stethoscope, and that was in 2019. So that's really great. So he was here 40 years.
Another call coming in, Melissa. Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. You are on.
Good morning. I would like to speak to or about Dr. Anna. He was my grandmother's doctor, and when he has passed away, I noticed at the cemetery, he's at Cold Springs, and he does not have a date of death on his tombstone. So I inquired about it, and they said that legally I wasn't able to do anything about it because I wasn't a family member. But I was wondering if anybody knows anything that they could help him get his date of death on there.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. It probably was maybe they prepaid for the stone.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. Yeah. Know, and then it never gets finished.
It never gets finished. Yeah. I have, I don't know if I have his obituary or I have this big article about him. Well, we'll have to ask around about that and see what we can
find out. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure they told me that he died in 2000 and something, so they would have to actually, because it has a 19 on there.
Right.
And so they would have to actually sandblast that off and put the 2000 on there. And they said I couldn't do anything about it, though.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I'll talk to them.
We'll have to see if there's family around to see if they would be willing to
do
that.
Great.
Or give permission.
He was a wonderful doctor to my grandmother. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. You know, it's really funny because a lot of these stories, I can tell the same thing. When I go down to visit my mom's graves, as I did this last weekend, when my dad died, he died in 1969, so they had a double stone and put it at the gravesite. And of course, it was 19 blank for my mother. Well, my mother messed them up real bad because she lived to be almost 104, so she died in 2003. So when they go down there, they did a great job of taking the 19 off and putting 2003 on. But same thing, you know. I think it's really funny how I can relate to a lot of these calls. And you can join us, 433-1433. Great show today, folks. Doctors, and while I'm on, one of the people that used to work here, Ted Seraph's grandpa, was Dr. O'Brien.
Oh, I
And we used to have a lot of stories because I knew Maureen personally. And Maureen was told by Dr. O'Brien that she was going to be a doctor. And she was a cheerleader in school, and she was very athletic, and it was a blast. Every time we talked, she says, yeah, I was supposed to be a doctor, too.
That's interesting.
Okay, we have another call coming in.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. Well, we lost that call. Either I hit the wrong button, or she hung up, or he hung up. Call us back, 433-1433. We're ready. We're rolling today.
Okay. I'm going to talk about Sarah Lamb Cushing. Now, she is really early. She was born in Pittstown, New York in 1818. And when she was 4 years old, her father passed away. And then her mother was the anchor of her life. And then before 4 years later, her mother passed away. So she was sent to live with Obadiah Hogue family in Lockport. And they were Quakers. And she lived there until the age of 14, and then she entered the Quaker school in Albany. And it was another great change in her life, and she attended the Albany Female Academy and graduated in 1841. After school, she went to Cincinnati, Ohio to visit a brother, and while she was there, she met and became friends with Reverend David Cushing. They started a courtship, and they got married in Ohio in 1846. They returned to Lockport, and he was the minister at the Second Presbyterian Church on Van Buren Street for a couple of years, and they had a daughter, Martha Marie. She was a beautiful little girl, and unfortunately she passed away, and then shortly after that her husband passed away. So she had a lot of loss in her life. So she decided that she was going to become a doctor, and she was accepted at the Starling Medical College at Columbus, Ohio, at a time where there was only a handful of women physicians. She graduated in 1858, and she interned with Elizabeth Blackwell for a year. She started her practice during the Civil War, and during that combat, she helped to take care of the sick and wounded and distributed sanitary supplies to the soldiers. There was so much disease in the camps that she actually fell ill herself. She came home, and she started a practice at 49 South Street in Lockport, and she became a fixture here. She delivered babies and took care of anybody who needed help, and she also was one who, if somebody was indigent, she would help them. And she had some odd eating habits. She wouldn't drink tea or coffee or milk, and she wouldn't eat bread, but she loved meat and potatoes. And so she was recognized all around town. And when she did pass away, and she lived to be 101, so she was born in 1818 and died in 1919, so that's pretty good for that time span. She had saved, and this is amazing because a lot of patients couldn't pay her, and a lot of people gave her bartered items. She had saved $20,000, so that was a lot of money at that time. And she started the Sarah L. Cushing Trust Fund at the Lockport Hospital, and it was for indigent women. So if a woman couldn't pay to have something done at the hospital, she left money in that account so that they could do it. So I think that's pretty amazing. And she was one of the first or the first woman doctor in Western New York. So, and I know you know a woman doctor.
I've gone blank. I can't bring the name up.
Mabel Carmer.
Mabel Carmer, yes. My grandma's doctor many, many years ago. And she was one of the very few women doctors in this area at the time. And she had her office down in Newfane, and she was well-loved because she was a tremendous doctor.
Yeah, there's probably got to be people that remember Dr. Carmer. So there are a lot of older doctors. I see there's Dr. Berger, and he passed away in 2014. So he also went to the University of Rochester Medical School, served in World War II. He had additional training in the University of Buffalo and served at the E.J. Meyer Hospital. Turned to active duty in the Korean conflict, serving as a MASH commander for several years, and received honors including the Bronze Star. He served in the military reserves for many years and again returned to active duty in the Army in 1984 through 1992. Holy cow! This is pretty amazing. He established a medical practice in obstetrics in Lockport in 1955 and delivered thousands of babies at the Lockport Memorial Hospital between that time and returning to service. He was chief of staff in 1977. So there you go.
Dr. Berger was in with Dr. Cairo. They were the two baby doctors, delivery type, and one delivered my son, Rick.
Wow.
I can't remember which one, but one of the two because they were in the same office.
Well, the doctor that delivered my husband, actually, was Dr. John Argue from Wilson. And he was another doctor that was born in 1910 in Wilson. So, again, those early years of the 20th century produced a lot of doctors. He graduated from Lockport Union School. And then he went on to get his medical degree and served he went to the University of Buffalo Medical School. He served his residency in Meyer Memorial Hospital, which, as Melissa said, is now the Erie County Medical Center. And then he set up his practice in Wilson, and his practice was at 400 Lake Street. And he said that when he first started his practice, the fee for delivering a baby was $35, and that was in 1937. So
that probably was a lot of money
at that time. He served in the U.S. Air Force in Italy during World War II, and he was a flight surgeon. And Don Krupp, who was the Wilson Town historian for a number of years, he said that he drove more than 100,000 miles a year to make his rounds.
Holy cow.
So, but one of the things that people will remember Dr. Argue for was that he was one of the founding members of the Wilson Historical Society, and that he also collected cars. And he donated them later to the Wilson Historical Society. And so his car collection, and one of the cars that's there what is a 1904 covert, which was made here
right,
in Lockport.
Right.
And so, again, a lot of people remember him in Wilson, not only for being a doctor, but for his car collection as well.
And one of his cars that he has in that collection is the doctor's coupe, they call it. And it has a little black handbag in it, with doctor's tools in it, so to speak. And that was one of the collectors that a lot of my friends, because I collect, you know, antiques also, and not to Dr. Argue's status, but we have another call coming in. Let's take that call right now.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the Niagara County's Great History Show. Go ahead. You are on.
Hey, Norm, this is Sales Weasel Ted.
Hey, Ted.
My brother just said that someone mentioned our grandfather, Dr. T. Edwin O'Brien.
Yes, we have the history people here, Melissa Dunlap, Nan Marie, and we were talking about doctors, so I brought up Dr. O'Brien and how he wanted your mother to be a doctor.
Well, she had better plans, I guess.
Yeah.
But as the family story goes, my grandfather O'Brien gave birth to generations of Lockport kids. And, you know, he'd get paid with pies and chicken dinners and...
Yep, barter. Yeah.
Fresh milk and things. And that's, you know, that's how things were done, you know, with a handshake.
Yep. So, and, but that's great.
Yeah, I'll have to listen to the show. Hopefully it's archived. And
yes, it is.
Awesome. Well, I'll look forward to listening to it.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And there's some thoughts about your grandpa. You know, so give us a call. We're running out of time. We have about 7 minutes left, so give us a call, 433-1433. It has been great so far. Sorry to interrupt you, Anne-Marie. Go ahead.
It's okay. I was basically finished. I was just going to say that he passed away in 1986. And another doctor from the Wilson area in Lockport that a lot of people might remember was Dr. Ulritz.
Yes.
And he was my husband's doctor for many years as well. And he also was in several local bands.
Yep.
And so a lot of people, you know, obviously would remember Dr. Ulritz as well.
That's interesting that doctors who are so busy and doing so much for their patients are also the doctors that served in the military, that formed organizations, that, I mean...
involved in the community.
Yes,
and
just giving people. They're just people that they give their all to everybody else. So, you know, that's really a phenomenal thing.
And when I was a child growing up, my doctor was Dr. Macaluso. And as I got older and learned about life, I give a real chuckle now about it, but then I didn't understand it. His brother was across the street, and he had an office too. He was a mortician.
Oh.
So my Dr. Macaluso was on the south side, and his brother, the mortician, was on the north side. I says, what if they had a little thing going here. We have another call coming in. Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. Go ahead. You are on. About 4 minutes.
Hi. Anne-Marie?
Yes.
Yep.
Bruce.
That's Bruce. I wanted to talk about Dr. Mabel Carmer.
Good.
Yeah, her uncle was actually a doctor first. I believe his first name was Frank, and he was mostly a new thing. And she became a doctor, and she was in the military. And she and my mother became very good friends because she lived in the trailer park across the street, and they were both in the Legion Auxiliary. And my favorite story about Dr. Mabel, as we always called her, my first day of kindergarten on the bus, I got a nosebleed. And they took me to Dr. Mabel to stop the nosebleed.
Well, that was good. My favorite, thank you for calling. My favorite doctor story is I have one of my sons had a bad sliver, and I tried to dig it out, and he wouldn't let me do it. He kept pulling away everything, so I finally took him to the pediatrician, and the pediatrician dug it out, and he said to him, do you know what WIMP means? My son said, no, and he said, wimp. He said, don't ever come for something like this again.
Okay, we're down about 3.5 minutes, so if you have any closing thoughts, let's put them together, ladies.
Okay, well, I definitely want to talk about we're having the road rally on June 12th, It's going to be a really fun event. It's like an escape route thing, except you're doing it driving around Niagara County. There's a lot of information about it. If you would like us to send it to it or you want me to tell you more, please call the museum at 434-7433. And we want to acknowledge that the Erie Canal Discovery Center is having the Key to the Lock ceremony on May 22nd at 10:30. And George Fritz, owner of Bill's Jewelers, is the recipient. George does a lot of the community. He helps all the nonprofit organizations. He helps at the Palace. He's just community-oriented. He's a great ambassador for Lockport, so we're really happy that he is the recipient this year. So that is open to the public. It will be outside on the lawn, but it's May 22nd at 10:30.
I have a quick George Fritz story. Okay. I worked with his dad out to the shop. His dad was a hoot and a half. He was the funniest man I had ever
met.
Merle? Merle. When Merle retired, George says he was going a little bit batty. So George says, well, you can come in and work at the shop. And that's the jewelry store, right?
Right.
Well, George is probably the only man that fired his own father. Merle was giving so much stuff away. George says, you know, you'll have to find another job, Dad. Okay, we're down to 2 minutes, ladies.
Okay, that's funny.
Well, again, we're having our children's programs in July and August. July 21st is the history of firefighting from 10 to 1, and it's for children ages 7 to 12. And then August 18th, we're going to do a program on the Titanic. And again, it's 10 to 1. Both programs, I think, are $25 each. But there are $5 coupons available through the Town of Lockport Recreation Department. So if you have any questions or want more information about either one of the programs, you can call us at 434-7433.
Also, we are going to do Cemetery Tales this summer, one in August and one in September. And next time I will bring the information about the dates. But they will be at Cold Spring Cemetery. But we are going to, we're slowly starting. We are not having a gala this year. We still haven't made a decision on the Oktoberfest because we have to see how things go. But, you know, we're starting. And we're really happy because we have missed seeing people and stuff. So, yeah. Great.
Thank you very much. It has been a blast this morning. Niagara County's Great History Show, Norm Palmer saying good morning for Melissa Dunlap and Anne-Marie Linneberry from the Niagara County History Center. You have been listening to the Niagara County History Show on 1340 AM 105.3 FM.